Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective on Red State. What? Holy cow. Oh my God. Oh, I am. Wow. James Bostic here with Conservatives Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Red State. Holy cats. Here, some of you may not know, I've been doing this for a little while. I think this is my sixth year, or moving into my halfway through my sixth year, something like that. Anyway, I just decided to do this one day. Just decided to do it. And well, that's not true. I mumbled and vacillated and paced back and forth and hemmed and hawed for 2 years. Then I decided to do it. But anyway, I got out there and I started in November 2012, November that Barack Obama got reelected. I was doing a half-hour show. Didn't know anything about what I wanted to do. I just knew I had something that I wanted to say, and I felt this was going to be this was going to be the medium in which I would say these things. And, you know, apparently it's, you know, I'm okay with it, and cause I've been doing it for a while, but, and I just posted independently. I posted on a place called Podomatic. And then in March, from November to March, so December, January, February, 4 months, 3 months, 4 months, I get an email from a guy named Primo Mondoni from Cleveland. And he has a network, radio network, called Red State Talk Radio Network. Red State Talk Radio. And anyway, that was my greeting. That was how I brought it on when I was, well, anyway, I got this email from Primo Mondoni from Cleveland, and it was actually Cleveland, Tennessee. And Primo Mondoni sounded just exactly as you would expect a native Tennessean to sound. But to get the email from him, I thought, oh man, what? Getting in a podcasting mob? What's going on? But anyway, he was a terrific guy, and he got me started, and he had heard my program on Podomatic. I guess he was just, you know, headhunting. Anyway, found it, and he liked it, and he asked me if I would be interested in, you know, downloading my program to his network. And I said, God, yeah, you kidding me? And so that's how it happened, and, you know, monkeying around here and there, doing this and that, and here I am. So, but anyway, my gosh, that no, Gary, I do not have Bidenitis. Gary Benford, the man behind Nation Savers 2020. We're always on. We're always on. He's like clockwork, man. He is the most faithful cat I've ever seen with that. He always got something to say. Just a little something. Go get him. Attaboy. Here's something you might want to talk about. Or he's got some kind of timely comment to make as he's listening. And then he just said, oh, no, you've got Bidenitis. Okay, what were we talking about? No, I'm kidding. So anyway, welcome, ACP, a conservative perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have a live version of the show that goes out, we have a recorded version of the show that goes out on Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you really ought to be. It is the finest in libertarian and conservative talk radio that you're going to find out there. And ACP proud and more than a little humble to be moving through that rarefied air. Well, good golly, Miss Molly, just like I said in the teaser, the whole country's gone crazy. Well, just the left anyway. As usual, we're going to be trying to peer through that fog, and that's what's on the menu for tonight. Big Tuesday, Fat Tuesday, Super Fat Tuesday, which is coming up on Thursday, according to Joe Biden. Super Tuesday's come and gone. And we see now the coalescing, the quickening in the Democrat Party. As we have said on this program, and many people out there have said it, and, you know, it's not that, nothing novel, nothing innovative, you know, not any cutting edge political ideology thinking here or anything like that. But the conventional thinking seems to be by those people who do think about this stuff a lot more than me. That the establishment Democrat Party, the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, they're not going to let this guy do this. They're not going to let Sanders get this nomination. He did well on Super Tuesday, not as well as they thought he would do. They expected Bernie Sanders' team, his advanced people, as well as the media as a whole, I think, expected a much more aggressive turnout in terms of the youth vote, because that's who digs this crazy old man, this crazy old communist bastard. are you know, Me Too and the Gimme Gimmes. That's the people that like Bernie Sanders as far as the youth vote goes. Now, in terms of numbers, you know, as to who's greater, Me Too and the Gimme Gimmes, or, you know, young conservatives, Turning Point USA types, I'm not exactly sure. But you know what? It's hard to campaign against Santa Claus. And what are these guys on the Democrat side? What have they been but Santa Claus to somebody? Not necessarily the American middle class, mind you, but, you know, they're certainly Santa Claus to illegal aliens. Certainly Santa Claus, you know, to not only maintain, but to expand that entitlement state after the remarkable 3 years that, you know, under Donald Trump that we've seen, where economic circumstances have improved to such an extent that we have these tremendous numbers in terms of any metric you want to use to measure America's prosperity. That is not lost on the Democrats. They cannot acknowledge it. They cannot cede these successes, these accomplishments of Donald Trump to him. They cannot, they will not give the man his due. They will not ever give the man his due. But by God, we can. And, you know, in terms of economics, guys, and there, like I said, again, there's no shortage of metrics by which we can judge this. None at all. At this point in time, right here in America, me and you, I'm sitting here on this end of the microphone. You're on the other side. We're hanging out. We're fellowshipping. Times in this country, from an economic standpoint and from many other standpoints culturally that are slowly changing, that haven't come to the forefront yet, things are better now than they have been possibly ever. I'm trying to think back. Now, I haven't been around for that long, but I have been around a while. And in my adult life, and we'll take that from the time that I was in high school. I graduated from high school in 1980, 40 years ago. God, 40 years. Oh, gee, man. And there have been times of prosperity. There have been throughout that time frame from 1980. And in 1980, we see the ascendancy of Ronald Reagan and Reaganism and a renewed level of respect for the United States in terms of foreign policy. A re-strengthening, a replenishing of our military. We ended the Cold War. We won the Cold War. Then we see H.W. Bush. We see the wall come down. We see some still strong economic trends throughout the Clinton administration. But we also see certain levels of decay in terms of our prestige throughout the rest of the world, how we were perceived, how we were regarded, because there was a tendency towards pacifism in the face, number one, of fundamentalist Islamic terrorism and in the global aggression of communism. As a matter of fact, you know, we saw a lot of collusion during the Clinton years. So his weren't the Russians. His was the Chinese. If a Chinese missile nowadays, should God forbid something like that happen, the reason that China will be able to land nuclear warheads here in the United States is because of the missile guidance technology that was sold to the Chinese by Bill Clinton. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, the thinking was, if they had access, if Chinese had access to the same type of technology in terms of our nuclear force, or nuclear forces, then they wouldn't be as belligerent because there would be parity, so to speak. Well, Bill Clinton was an idiot. And then, you know, W didn't do anything about this either. Obama didn't do anything. And so these guys have run rampant. The Chinese have run rampant all these years. And now they think that they are on par with the United States in terms of military technology. And you know what? They may well be, after all the intellectual theft or theft of intellectual property that the Chinese have done and the market fluctuations. Finally, a guy comes along, Donald Trump, takes them on. And in doing so, in phase one of the new economic deals that are going to be put in place with communist China. And I don't care what MSNBC tells you. I don't care what CBS tells you, ABC, any of these idiots. I don't care what the NBA tells you, okay? These some bitches are communists. Reds, man. The enemy. So finally we get a guy who takes on China and bends them to his will. In the agricultural subsidies and in the negotiations there, China will be buying rice from American farmers. Donald Trump is selling rice to the damn Chinese, people. All across the board, things are looking pretty good. This coronavirus, folks are kind of worried about that, and understandably, but you know what? Let me lay this on you. Maybe. Hang on. $32 million Americans have been infected with the flu this season. 32 million. Of those 32 million, 18,000 have died. They're trying to freak you out with the coronavirus. Seriously, this comes from the Centers for Disease Control. 32 million Americans ill with the flu this season, 18,000 deaths. How many deaths have there been in America right now? A dozen? And people are freaking out and losing their minds? Wash your damn hands. Cover your mouth when you cough. Oh, and you know what? It doesn't have to be a flu epidemic or the threat of diseases. Wash your hands anyway. Cover your mouth when you cough. That's just good manners. Ridiculous. Buttigieg is out, or packing it in, I guess we could say. As a matter of fact, that's how Pete Buttigieg met his husband. They were in a bar one night, and he looked over and says, "Can I push your stool in for you?" So he's out. Elizabeth Warren is out. Bloomberg is out. Bloomberg endorses Joe Biden. Buttigieg endorses Joe Biden. Elizabeth Warren, on the other hand, Elizabeth Warren had this to say. Yeah, she did. She had this to say. And this was this morning. You know, yesterday she bowed out of the race. This morning, they're talking to her in terms of the endorsement. And that's all part of this nowadays. You bow out of the race, and right there before you leave with all your millions that were unspent in campaign cash, you pass the baton. You know, well, this is who we're going to back. This is the horse we're betting on now. Here's what she had to say.
Will you be making an endorsement today? We know that you spoke with both Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders yesterday.
Not today. not today. I need some space around this, and want to take a little time to think a little more. I've been spending a lot of time right now on the question of suspending and also making sure that this works as best we can for our staff, for our team, for our volunteers.
Senator, what?
I'm sorry.
It could be coming, but just not right now.
Not right now.
Okay. Well, according to recent reporting out there, here's the deal on that. Elizabeth Warren is in negotiation with Bernie Sanders and with Joe Biden about her future in the race or scripted departure, in which campaign is going to provide the best incentives for her endorsement. Now, the fact that Senator Warren is negotiating with both Bernie and Biden teams only highlights the reality of her inauthentic nature. Pocahontas speak with forked tongue. And it didn't start just here, okay? It was obvious that she became more and more desperate and started pandering to ever smaller groups of constituents, which ultimately led to her political promise to allow a transgendered 9-year-old grade school student to pick out her Secretary of Education. So, if Senator Elizabeth Warren takes the Bloomberg cash and endorses Joe Biden, she will lose any, you know, she'll lose all of her progressive credibility. She won't have any left. She'll also be targeted by the most vocal left-wing elements of the Bernie AOC caucus for selling out. But if she goes with Bernie Sanders, she can retain her progressive title, but she's going to lose all the inside D.C. political capital and she'll be on the wrong side of the party machine. So in other words, it could cost her millions. So what's she going to do? Credibility or cash? How is that going to work? A cabinet position? Because, again, there's very little that Bernie can offer her beyond maintaining, you know, beyond burnishing her reputation as a progressive and staying on the good side of the Ocasio-Cortez Sanders people, the Bernie bros. I don't know how much longer she's going to be able to put this off. I would imagine it's Thursday. They may push for something over the weekend, but that's unlikely. I think probably by Monday or Tuesday of next week, they're going to be expecting, and they're going to keep asking. She may not give an answer for a while, but they're going to stay on her about it. And I'm sure that there are going to be people that are going to be looking in to the fact that she's talking to both campaigns. And there's nothing really wrong with that either. It is clearly indicative of what's the word I'm looking here for? Opportunism would be a good one. That's not it, but we'll go with that. So, phony, man. Phony baloney. But she always was. She has been ever since that whole Indian thing. And it's astonishing to me that she was permitted. Okay, you can't go this far in the Democrat Party with all the and they all do, man. I mean, they're all crooks. They all need to be thrown out. But you know, she lied about everything. Everything. She lied about her lineage. She lied about her career. She lied about where her kid went to school. She lied. She lied like a rug. Somebody else has to call her dog. She lies so bad. But she made it to Super Tuesday. And she's going to walk out of this thing. And I got a feeling she's probably, you know, money. I think she's going to go. She's ultimately, my prediction is that she's going to endorse. She's going to hold off as long as she can, but ultimately then the lure of easy money, you know, has a very strong appeal, and she'll go and start singing the Biden blues all the way to the bank. And it isn't like this lying, shrewish harpy doesn't have enough money already, for God's sake. That's what gets me about all this. I mean, it's not. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I think is going to happen. So she's negotiating with both of them. And I'm trying to figure out just exactly how influential she is. She didn't even carry her own state. Biden beat her in her own state. At least Bernie carried Vermont. Crazy. Just crazy. So, Buttigieg is out. Mini Mike is out. More than $700 million. If they broke it down per delegate, and he didn't get that many delegates, I think maybe 13, 15, something like that. $13.2 million per delegate is what Mike Bloomberg shelled out. Tom Steyer, $250 million. $250 million and didn't have a damn thing to say except impeach Trump, climate change. Impeach Trump, climate change. That was it. 250, a quarter of $1 billion. Right down the toilet, as Archie Bunker used to say. Well, yeah, well, Trump spent some of his money, he did, right? Yeah, 57 mil. He spent 57 million bucks of his own money. That's it. And he won. He won. These two idiots, well, the $700 million from Mike, and $250 million from Steyer. Those two dudes blew almost $1 billion and came out with bupkis. Nothing. And I think, you know, the most accurate thing that we can attribute that to is the American people. There's still, thank God, a large enough slice of the American people that can see through this crap and not respond. And that's what that is. That is an absence of response right there. 500 million, 700 million bucks, and you pick up 13 delegates. 250 million bucks, and you don't get anybody? Yeah. Okay, we're down at the bottom of the hour, and quite frankly, I have got to get something to drink and figure out what the hell I'm going to talk about next. Mark, going to be back here shortly. We're looking at maybe a month, maybe a little bit longer, not more than that. And the Patriot Nation Radio Live is going to be back on. And no doubt better than ever. Let me see. What do we want to listen to here? Oh, I know what we're going to I'm such a terrible guy. I suppose we ought to do this in honor of Elizabeth Warren. And we'll be back with more of ACP. After this. We'll be right back. y'all.
And all the bees we made we by hand. By hand.
Absolutely. One of the very best, I think, of the Southern fried rock bands to come out of the late 70s, excuse me, mid-70s into the early 80s. And there were a bunch of them that were out there, too. That was, of course, Atlanta Rhythm Section. And I've known about these cats for a long time. I saw them in concert in 1976, 77 at Concord College. Not Concord University, Concord College. My brother, my older brother Bernie, was in college at that time. And the Atlanta Rhythm Section was going to be playing a venue there at the school. And he grabbed me and went over there. It was like my first concert. And that was awesome, too. It was great. I saw a lot of good shows there. I saw the Outlaws a couple times there. I saw Maynard Ferguson. Talk about a trumpet player. Ouch, that guy's awesome. Who else did I see? Atlanta Rhythm Section. I guess that might have been it, but those are some pretty cool shows. Welcome back, Conservative Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I am James Bostic. Reliable sources tell me so. And it's good to be with you. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network. And that's Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you really should be. The very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio you're going to find anywhere out there. So, what's up? Okay, we've got, and what we're seeing, and we're seeing it solidify. Biden's going to wind up with this. He's just going to wind up with it. These guys have thrown their candidates to him, and now these guys have, I guess, you know, the 13 delegates of Bloomberg F and the 45 or whatever it was that Buttigieg had. Since they have endorsed Biden, these guys, these delegates are going to, you know, they're going to pull for Biden at the convention in Milwaukee. As we've said, the magic number is 1,991. That's the number of delegates that apparently what it's going to come down to, you know, Bernie and Joe. Somebody's going to have to walk into Milwaukee with 1,991 delegates. Now, the heads and the bookies who pay attention to this crap, they say neither one of them is going to do it. Nobody's going to be able to shake that loose. So what does that mean? Well, that's where everybody speaks so brave. Donna Brazile, old girl got, man. I can't remember the girl's name. Ronna. That's a shame on me. The head of the DNC. Anyway, told her to go to hell because she was talking. And this makes the Democrats nervous. I wish I could remember her name. But anyway, Donna Brazile is now a Fox News contributor, if that tells you anything at all. And she's on Jake Henry and they're talking about the potential, and it's real. It's not Republicans' fault. It's not anybody's fault but the Democrats, because of the way they've allowed this thing to play out. The leadership at the DNC and, you know, the people in Washington, D.C. have been so obsessed with Donald Trump and impeachment that they've kind of taken their eye off the ball. And I don't think that Perez or Ellison, you know, as head of the DNC and co-head of the DNC, I don't even think they know what time it is. It's not theirs to control. They're moving with whatever the radical left wing of the Democrat Party tells them. So they don't have control either. Ronna McDaniel. I'm sorry. It suddenly came to me. Through the magnificent brain of Gary Binford, who had the presence of mind to inbox it to me while I was struggling. Thanks, man. Ronna McDaniel. She tells Ronna McDaniel, go to hell. We don't want... We don't even want you talking about what's going to happen with our convention. So it bothers them. It resonates with them, and it resonates really negatively. And I talked about this on Tuesday, and it was something that was a conversation that Gary and I had last weekend. We were talking about the potentiality for just this. What happens? They go to a brokered convention. Well, yeah, that makes it sound like it's so unsettled and fractured and all this. No, it isn't. It's a fail-safe. It's a fail-safe to be used if Joe Biden doesn't go in there, if Joe Biden doesn't have the 1991, if he doesn't have that 1,991 delegates needed to secure the nomination, boom, now we've got a brokered convention. This is not a nail-biter. Well, it's not for us. We're going to have a great time. There are 771 superdelegates waiting in the wings, just hanging back, killing time, playing cards, smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, just waiting, listening to the news. And so when it comes time, and apparently they may not be needed because, like I said, this groundswell of youth movement, Me Too and the Gimme Gimmes, didn't turn out for Bernie the way they thought they would. Yeah, they go to the rallies when there are, you know, rap stars and there's a lot of signifying and posing going on. Yeah, they'll be there for the pageantry. But they didn't come out and vote. So the expectations on Bernie's youth vote fell tremendously short. Now, in 2016, that was a large measure of his voting bloc, was the youth vote. And they're like 62% of the youth voters in the Democrat, you know, they were with Bernie. And I'm guessing that's what, you know, what is that, the 18 to 35 bracket or whatever that is. Well, this time, that level, that type of voter support was down 20-some percent. So, yeah, they're still voting with him, but they're not voting with him in the numbers that they did in 2016. And here's the thing, guys. None of the front runners, and especially Bernie, none of them, Biden, and well, I guess up till this time, you know, whoever was left, Warren and Buttigieg, none of them have a plurality, and it's just not that. So what happens then? Okay, well, we go to the brokered convention. Everybody's going crazy. Outstep these 771 delegates that are controlled by the DNC. They're not independent. Okay, they're not super impartial. They're not super unbiased. They're super delegates, and they're going to take their super votes, and if they have to, then they're going to carry Joe Biden across the finish line and secure the nomination for him, because they can't let Bernie Sanders have it. They're not going to let Bernie Sanders have it. I'm telling you now. He says that he won't quibble and get all jacked up if things go south and Joe Biden gets the nomination. Okay, cool. But we must also factor into these equations the fact that politicians lie out their ass 24/7. They say a lot of things that they don't mean. And you know, Bernie may be the, and Bernie may not have to do much. It's going to come down to the Bernie bros. You guys have heard that clip I played about Kyle Jurek, right? Bernie's advance man out in Iowa and all the stuff that was going to happen. You remember that? So it's easy for Bernie to say, if Biden wins the nomination, I'm not going to kick up any sand. I'll not make a fuss. I won't have to. And I'm sure, you know, if it does break out, who knows? Maybe it won't. Maybe all this, you know, like so much political theater, sound and fury signifying nothing. Maybe all this stuff is going to be anticlimactic. Maybe Joe's going to get the nomination, and there's going to be a little bit of rhubarb. There's going to be a little bit of rhubarb there. There's going to be a little bit of consternation from the Bernie people. Maybe it's not going to be what it has been portended to be. And that would be great. That would be great. But you know, the Occupy Wall Street types and the Antifa types, they're cool with violence. And Bernie Bros, you know, they're birds of a feather with these guys. And they're probably all kind of intermingled to a certain extent. And you know, personally, I think way too many people have been hurt while we've been in the middle of this as it is. Most of it has been Antifa left-wing violence against Trump supporters or conservatives. But that's not what's going to be happening. That's not what's going to happen in Milwaukee. There's not going to be any Trump supporters in Milwaukee, guys. That's the home of the Democrat Party is who's going to be in Milwaukee. Who's going to get hit in the head with bicycle locks stuffed down in the tube socks? Democrats. Biden supporters. I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's what it'll be. If they're going to, if they really do, if the meat hits the metal, and this guy Yurik isn't just full of it, which, yeah, he probably is a little bit. Most of the time, the people that, you know, really dig violence and talk about it so easily and casually haven't really had it visited upon them. So he may be enthusiastic right now, but if something, you know, but if something happens and it goes south on him, this is going to be a mess. Again, he's not going to be beating up Trump supporters. The Bernie Bros aren't going to be beating up Republicans. They're not going to be beating up Trump supporters or conservatives because that's not who is in town. Now, these peckerwoods are all supposed to be on the same side, man. Does that not show you how crazy things are on the left? Did you hear, speaking of crazy, that nutbag, that I'm going to have to go back and read up some more on John Brennan. He hasn't been around much, and he hasn't been saying a whole lot. The little commie SOB's been laying low. And in the meantime, I've been hating on Chuck Schumer, and he's really loaded me up with some stuff to hate. I know you guys have heard this. This is what happened yesterday. The Supreme Court is addressing some issues that depending upon your perspective, I suppose, could be detrimental to Roe v. Wade. Planned Parenthood now, I think, the National Organization of Girls, Gals, NOB, the National Organization of Babes. So the knobs are, Chuck and the knobs are out there in front of the Supreme Court, and he's just being Chuck Schumer, that idiot. Anyway, here's what he had to say.
Republican legislatures are waging a war on women. All
blah,
women.
Blah, blah. All women.
And they're
even
taking
the
away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch.
Rights in the Constitution.
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
I'm breaking that wind right now.
You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Shut up, you idiot. Oh, good God. No, we're going to hear this fool again.
Republican legislatures are waging a war on women, all women, and they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Mother of Pearl. Still here, not dead air. Don't get excited. At least, okay, I was not there. I get so jacked up about some of this stuff. And it is, it's theater, okay? And it's Chuck Schumer. He's a classless, ill-bred asshat. He's a political hack. He's a slope-shouldered, useless. Oh God. He's saying the same things that he said probably since he took office. He's probably been around for about 40 years or so. He's never done any damn thing but hang around in Washington and flatulate. No, pontificate. Well, he probably did a little flatulating too. Like you say, he said something about them. They're going to break the whirlwind or something. Anyway, this is what he does. And with the ascendancy, and I don't know how else to put it, with the ascendancy of Donald Trump to this position, chief executive, but to this in this position that overshadows all of them, they don't sit back, they don't discipline themselves, they don't temper their speech, they just jack it up, they just ratchet it up. And Ambrose Bierce wrote, "Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." And every time, how many sound bites? So, and this is Chuck Schumer. This is disgusting. He's threatening. He's intimidating. Supreme Court justices. Now, what the issue is? The case is called June Medical Services v. Russo, and it comes from out of Louisiana. And what it does is in Louisiana, there is a state law that requires any abortion providers, they have to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of their facility. Let me say that again. What is at issue here is a Louisiana state law that requires any abortion providers to have admitting privileges within 30 miles of their facility. And the reasoned and measured response from Chuck Schumer is,
Republican legislatures are waging a war on women. All women. And they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
How is that for calling out the nutbags and basically giving them permission to do the Supreme Court justices bodily harm? like they haven't suffered enough at the vicious schemes of the pro-abortion left. I bet Brett Kavanaugh's family will most likely never, never recover from what the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee did to them. And make no mistake about anything, no matter what was said, everything that happened to Brett Kavanaugh and his family was all about abortion. Because they're worried about Kavanaugh's stance on Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade is one of the chief sacraments in their religion of death. Clinical terms? You want clinical terms? Okay, abortion, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is the technology that is funded by taxpayers. What is that technology? That technology is the termination of human life. That's what Planned Parenthood is. That's what abortion is. Abortion is government sanctioned, because government money pays for it. I don't care what they say. Government sanctioned termination of human life. Why? Well, because Roe v. Wade. What do you mean? Was the baby sick? No, baby wasn't. Baby wasn't sick. Was the mom sick? She couldn't live for the. No, nothing wrong with the mom. Partying like hell. Well, what it? Just wanted to, I guess. Anyway, that's the law, and so. So Louisiana has this requirement, okay? If you're an abortion doctor, then you have to have admitting privileges at some hospital within 30 miles of your abortion facility. Okay. So you see what those words could have done? Look, Steve Scalise, anybody? It was a Bernie bro that went out there with the rifle that day when Republican congressmen were practicing softball for the 4th of July game with the Democrats. And this Bernie bro came out there and started shooting at him, critically wounded Steve Scalise. He almost died. Why? Because of violent rhetoric directed against Republicans. They were doing it back then. They're doing it now. It hadn't changed. And now you got Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, encouraging this stuff. And no, it's not an exaggeration, because most of the left, if you think about it, you see the news every day. Most of the left has been fundamentally driven nuts with President Trump's election and success. After success, after success, triumph, after triumph, after triumph, winning. It's obvious by saying stuff like this and some of the other things that he said and things that Democrats are saying. Washington, Hollywood. But in this case, it's clear. These guys have been so blinded by their hatred for Donald Trump that they have lost any sense of good judgment that they may have had. And now they're reduced to just angrily threatening, publicly threatening justices of the Supreme Court. For what? For what? Do you really think Chuck Schumer is agitated about this war on women? Votes. Chuck Schumer's agitated about votes. Because the left has used abortion rights for years. Almost 50 years they've used abortion rights to win votes and scare women. Well, Chief Justice John Roberts, in a rare rebuke, responded publicly, saying this: Justices know that criticism comes with the territory, but threatening statements of this sort from the highest levels of government are not only inappropriate, they are dangerous. Again, after Steve Scalise was nearly killed by a Bernie Sanders supporter, you would think that even Schumer would know better than to incite violence. What else can you call it? The words couldn't have been any clearer. They get caught, Democrats. Ignorant, classless, graceless, barely articulate Democrats. They get caught red-handed doing what they're doing, and then they claim that you didn't see or hear what you saw or heard. Chuck Schumer is a hateful, vicious little weasel. If a Republican had done the same thing, the entire left and all the media would be screaming bloody murder for his or her removal from office. He should be expelled from the Senate, but he won't be. He might be censured. Josh Hawley's working on a measure to censure him, a resolution to censure. Probably won't work, though. Rules are different for Democrats than they are for Republicans. Every Republican in Congress should be screaming for Schumer's exit from the Senate, but they won't. If Chuck Schumer were in a courtroom and had done that, he would have been disbarred. There was no question about what he was trying to do. He clearly was trying to affect the justice's decision-making. With the exception of Sotomayor and Kagan, for whom social justice is their touchstone, and abortion is, again, one of the sacraments of that religion. You know, the other justices are going to rely on the Constitution, and they're not likely to cave to Chuck Schumer's threats, and they're not going to be frightened. But what about all the nutbags who may take Chuck Schumer's words as a call? As a challenge. Chuck Schumer is an angry man with an ugly soul. And I believe karma will bite him in the end. You know, when you look back on Super Tuesday, that really must have been, I guess there are Democrats, center Democrats, you know, and the establishment guys, the ones that are embedded and have been there, the Schumers, the Pelosis, the Feinsteins, those of that ilk. Super Tuesday must have been tough on them. This entire election cycle must have been, it's just been grinding on them. You know, they were able to kind of blunt Bernie's momentum, but I don't know that they actually did that in so much as the youth base that we talked about that Bernie expected just didn't show. And that played a role too. And so they're pushing forward Joe Biden. Everybody has seen enough. I'm not exactly sure. You know, I don't really have any sympathy for the guy because he's a crook. And we're going to see that, and we have seen it. We've talked about it here. I've read stuff to you about it. And we're going to go into detail when, you know, at that point when he becomes the nominee. And Bernie's no less a crook. They're all crooks. But more and more is going to come to light in terms of Joe Biden's corruption. Pete Schweitzer's book, Profiles in Corruption. Guys, get it. Get it on Kindle if you got one, or get it. You will be so pissed. You will be so pissed off. You will be fit to be tied. And you need to look at his book, Secret Empires, as well. But so you've got Joe, and he's again, it's not funny anymore. He's failing mentally. Okay, this guy's he doesn't have any business running for office. He's out there just doing it, and but that's who they're going to go with. It's like Woodrow Wilson. When Woodrow Wilson was president, he had a stroke, a big one. He had had them all his life, but he had a huge one in 1919 that basically left him incapacitated but still in office. His wife blamed the Republicans in Congress for the stroke, saying that they drove him to it. She took over his duties, screened all the documents, and signed his name to them without consulting him or his aides. Now, Joe Biden's had two aneurysms in the 1980s that may have, you know, played some part in this decline, this manifest decline, because there are examples of it every time the guy goes out on the campaign trail. Jill Biden seems to be extremely aware of her husband's confused state and you can see it that, you know, when he was on stage a couple of days ago and some anti-dairy protester jumped up on there and they pushed her off. But in the aftermath, immediately after they got her out of there, she went over and was talking to Biden. You're okay. You're okay. You're okay. Reassuring him. He was confused. He's not a man that's in control of anything. And he won't be anytime in the future. Maybe Dr. Jill wants the presidency more than Joe. I don't know. In the long run, I don't think it's going to matter because Donald Trump is going to... Can you imagine the debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump? Or Bernie Sanders, for that matter, but Bernie's not going to make it. And this is where we can't take anything for granted, clearly. We can't. But this is where we all get sucked into this. The media, and even conservative people, all right, even the people that my go-to sources, they treat this thing like a horse race. Like it's important. And I suppose, you know, to the Democrats who love their party and are watching it, you know, in its death throes and writhing in the flames, yeah, it is important. To the rest of us, I think it's just a lot of puffery and a lot of entertainment. What's going to come from the Democrat Party after this election? I think there's going to be a change. But it's not going to matter in terms of the White House, I believe, because they don't have anything. Who is the great charismatic figure? The engaging figure in the Democrat Party that's got anything for Donald Trump. They don't have it. No one does. But this isn't a horse race. Now that Pete Buttigieg is out of the race, Joe Biden's the youngest guy. He's 75. Bernie's 77, 78. You know, for a political party that eschews and speaks so disdainfully of the rich old white guys in politics, wow. There we are. Once again, the party of diversity, the party of inclusion. Two white guys in their late 70s. And Schumer's probably ticked off too because he knows he most likely will not be Senate Majority Leader anytime soon. and that his party is going to be defeated handily in November. And that's the thing. Again, you know, we treat this like it's a big deal. And I guess it is, because we need to be aware of it. But it's not a horse race, guys. 77-year-old horses? Hell, this is a stampede to the glue factory. A horse race? Pshaw, it is to laugh. Oh, Lord. So, you know, everybody's, it's come down to this. It's come down to this. And the only thing left now is for this to play out between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. Joe Biden's got the money. Bloomberg's backing him, so he's got the Bloomberg money. Oh, $700 million Bloomberg spent. It's representative of about 2% of his total wealth. Hell, he's probably already made it back by now. So he's got the Bloomberg money. He's got the party establishment behind him. He doesn't know what day it is. Last week he was running for Congress. He may not even know his damn name, but he's going to be their guy, and they're going to go with it. They're going to go with it because they can't go with Bernie. But after 2020, what happens to the Democrat Party? There's a lot of youth over there in the socialist free stuff side. But at some point, you know, Me Too and the Gimme Gimmes are going to see that it's just words, that somebody's going to have to pay for it somewhere. And so they fall off. They become disillusioned. They grow up. They have kids. They have kids that need braces. They go to Little League. That need a minivan, that pay property taxes. Bernie loses a little appeal. So in response, and universally he's been popped. CNN heads have dealt with him on this, and you know, everybody's pretty much condemned what Schumer has said. Here's his apology.
Accomplish in the court of public opinion.
Blah, blah, blah.
And they leave women out in the cold. So,
blah,
yes,
blah, blah.
I am angry. The yes. women of America are angry. And yes, we will continue to fight for a
we
woman's right to
angry.
Choose.
All the time.
I will
forever
continue
pissed
to fight
off about something. So
for
help
the women
me God.
Of America.
We're going to keep women pissed off too.
Now, I should not have used the words I used yesterday. They didn't come out the way I intended to.
I wanted
My
them
point
to sound
was
meaner and more
there would be political consequences for President Trump and Senate Republicans if the Supreme Court, with the newly confirmed justices, stripped
uh-huh.
away a woman's right to choose. Of
Are
course,
they doing
I didn't
that,
intend
though?
To suggest anything
really?
Other than political and public opinion consequences for the Supreme
uh-huh.
Court.
Nothing
and it
else,
is a gross
huh?
distortion. To imply otherwise.
Oh, you sound
I'm
upset.
From Brooklyn.
Okay.
We speak in strong language. I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat. I never, never would do such a thing.
No, not
and
you,
Leader
Chuck.
McConnell knows that.
Right.
And Republicans who are busy manufacturing
it,
outrage over these comments
oh, mean old
know that too.
Yeah, I'm here. Classless, graceless. Disingenuous. Insincere. what happened in Washington, D.C., that allowed for the supremacy of peck sniffs like Chuck Schumer, like Cory Booker, like Pete Buttigieg, like Bernie Sanders? What went wrong? In a little more than 50 years, the Democrat Party went from a guy like John Kennedy to Bernie Sanders to Joe Biden. The Democrat Party went from men to peck sniffs. Pansies, cows, gladiolas, left-wing poofters. You want to talk about reaping the whirlwind? The Democrat Party is set, is on the very cusp of not only reaping the whirlwind, they're getting ready to saddle it. And they're going to be in for the ride of their lives. The Democrat Party will never be the same after this. They'll never be the same. It's corruption and gradual degradation started back with the Clintons. We saw it expanded with Obama, and from there, the ideology of the party is just, they don't care about people. They don't care about gays. They don't care about illegal aliens. They don't care about the elderly. They don't care about kids in college. They don't care about kids in school. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about their voters. They don't care about anything except power. They care a lot about power. And they will do anything to maintain their power and acquire more power. That's what the left is today. More and more, we're going to see this unmasking of the left. We've seen it in so many things. You know, James O'Keefe has done a ton of things on this and just everywhere. And I mean, it's gotten to the point where these guys have fundamentally just dropped any pretense, and you don't have to catch them on hot mics or in hidden video or undercover scams, although there's a lot of that going on and they're successful too. They're out in the open with it. Oh man, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Chris Matthews, but I didn't get to that anyway. And I think we're going to go ahead and knock off early tonight. We got about 8 minutes left, and I think I'm about out of gas. It's been great talking with you guys. Talked with Michael Cutler. I was on the phone with Michael Cutler about 30, 40 minutes before the show started, and he has graciously consented to return to by popular demand. And from now on, I think what's going to happen, if it works out right, he's going to be kind of like a semi-regular. For the show. He's going to come on. He's going to talk with us. And given how well the last interview went, we're just going to go ahead and stick with that format. And the segment's going to be called Michael Cutler talking about whatever the hell he wants to. And that's what we're going to do. I told him that today, and he got a big kick out of that. So he's coming on, I think, Tuesday after next. It'll be the 17th. Yeah, next Tuesday is the 10th. 17th, Mike will be on with us the 17th. Oh, good, that's the two-hour show. We'll probably need every inch of it. Well, he's coming back. We have outreach to a fellow named Hal Morose. Mr. Morose is an attorney in Georgia, and he is currently running for the Georgia State Supreme Court. We're going to be talking with him about his campaign and why no one should have a problem with having a constitutionalist on any Supreme Court, state or federal, and I'm looking forward to that too. That's going to be a great one. That should be on the 19th. That'd be the following Thursday. Is hopefully how we can get that worked out. Danny Hamilton will be with us next Tuesday. If you've been on my webpage or if you've been anywhere down south, you've probably seen that massive Donald Trump 2020 custom coach. that shows up at pro-Trump rallies there. Well, Danny Hamilton's the man behind that. He's going to be on. He's got some great stories from the road out there in Trump land. Can't wait for that either. Yeah, we're done. Thank you guys so much. It's been a long week, man. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it beyond anything I can really articulate. Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here, Patriot Nation Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. The recorded version of the program, again, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, mojo50radio.com. You can go there. If you're not listening, you ought to be. Again, the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. That's all we got. I enjoyed it tremendously. Thank you so much for allowing me the time to spend with you. God bless you. God bless America. We will be back, and we will be taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. We'll see you next time.